Jane's in Sunset Hills on Lindbergh Boulevard, just south of Watson Road, next to St. Louis Bread Company. It's wicked awesome.
For 50 years, Newsetters has been a staple in the St. Louis community. Through a Stanley Cup victory, countless birthdays, anniversaries, and engagements, Newsetters Fine Jewelry has been there. We welcome you to join us in celebrating our anniversary at our showroom at the corner of Big Ben and Doherty Ferry or online at wowdiamonds.com.
All-Star Weekend is going to be wild, and when you're not at the rink, Lucas Park Grill will be the only place you need. Located on Washington Avenue, they will have shuttles to and from Enterprise and are already within blocks of other All-Star events. Get ready for Saturday's events with lunch starting at 11, and then live music and a full menu from 2 to 6 p.m. Each night, they've got you covered with a DJ starting at 11 p.m. and doors open till 3 a.m. Lucas Park Grill, your one stop before or after the game this All-Star Weekend.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
The Blues are on a roll, and so is the party at Patio's. Don't hassle with overpriced parking or jacked-up specials during the All-Star Weekend. Patio's is opening its doors for the festivities and has over 500 free parking spots that go along with affordable drinks and specials you can't beat. Plus, no cover and a DJ playing all night. $20 buckets, BOGO bombs, and vodka Red Bull doubles will get you ready for the All-Star Game, and you'll have a chance to win Blues tickets. Get down to your one destination for downtown party, Patio's.
Back in the 1940s, Walter Byerly, a cabinet maker, decided to build house trailers. The Warren family purchased a small trailer in 1954, and so began a 20-year odyssey covering 47 states. Every summer, the Warrens hit the road. Hardly a national monument or park was missed, documented by hundreds of slides and notebooks recording expenses like $6.06 for groceries and $3.69 for 13 gallons of gas. You can see the Warren's 1954 Byerly trailer on display at the lot and compare how RVs have changed in 60 years.
For the rest of your life,
Byerly trailer.
For the rest of your life,
Byerly trailer.
Rediscover your family, show them you care for the rest of your life.
You gotta be there.
Check us out at ByerlyRV.com. Eureka, Missouri.
All-Star Weekend is going to be wild, and when you're not at the rink, Lucas Park Grill will be the only place you need. Located on Washington Avenue, they will have shuttles to and from Enterprise and are already within blocks of other All-Star events. Get ready for Saturday's events with lunch starting at 11, and then live music and a full menu from 2 to 6 p.m. Each night, they've got you covered with a DJ starting at 11 p.m. and doors open till 3 a.m. Lucas Park Grill, your one stop before or after the game this All-Star Weekend.
Duke of Earl. I never liked that song, but it was a big hit. So, you know, we have a standing order here and a rule, no rap. Like a couple nights ago, I was in a casino, an unnamed casino. It's a casino that's really missing the boat, because if they'd let me be the spokesperson, and I'm not kidding, I lose enough there to pay for their entire yearly schedule. So I've already, like, paid them to advertise. So I'm sitting there, and there's an attractive woman playing next to me, and there's music playing in the casino. There's always music. In every casino, there's music. And it wasn't exactly, I wasn't crazy about it. It was okay. And I said to her, I said, you know, I don't know who selects the music to play here. I'm okay with most of it. And she looked at me and she said, anything but rap. And I said, wow, I couldn't agree with you more. And we kind of hit it off. And then I got a suite, a complimentary suite, and I took her upstairs and had sex with her. Oh. That's a true story. That just happened like 2 nights ago.
I'll be darned.
That's a typical casino night for me. And one of the perks of, you know, being a pathetic loser is you get comps. And, oh, many nights I've gotten sweets. I just take somebody who's attractive, who's playing near me, just take them up and have sex with them and then go home. It's a true story. So, here we are. Time to talk about something I'm going to have someone help me talk about. That would be Dan Strauss, only because his girlfriend Sandy is not here to help me. Sandy is now not just a Brinton Vision patient, but an ecstatic, extremely satisfied patient. And Sandy, and I'll let Dan tell you more, but Sandy has had a procedure that even I'm not familiar with. And I've been to some ophthalmologists, and I know, like the Farmers Insurance commercials, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Well, I know a thing or two about ophthalmology, but this is a breakthrough, brand new procedure that involves, Dan, did they say it's ultraviolet light or
yes.
some kind of special?
Yeah.
It's not laser.
No.
It's a way of resculpting the cornea, and her lenses were replaced.
Yes.
But so
yeah.
maybe it's not corneal at all, but it's a way of locking in perfect vision. The final stage is a lock-in with light, and it's incredible, and it's painless. And the reason I say it's painless is the number one thing that over the years people email me about, does it hurt? And I understand that. No, nothing about it hurts. So tell them where Sandy is. She's now, what, 4 weeks in since she first started this?
Yes, 4 weeks in, and... she just did the first adjustment, and they can do up to 3 adjustments and then lock it in. So the first adjustment was done Monday, and we'll go back Tuesday for another adjustment. Now, if the adjustment, like next Tuesday, is good, then she may not have to go back for the third one. But right now, her distance, she's reading 20/16.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
All right, let's review. Since most people don't know, and they shouldn't know, there's no reason they should know. They're not optometrists or ophthalmologists. Let's review what the numbers mean. 20/20, those numbers mean not just the year we're in now, but they mean what a person with perfect vision, with
yeah.
normal perfect vision, can see from 20 feet. You can see from 20 feet, so you have perfect vision. I was, when I was nearsighted, I was 20/800, which means what a person with normal vision can see from 800 feet, I couldn't see until I was 20 feet from it. That's how nearsighted I was. So if yeah. somebody's 20/60, okay, what a person with perfect vision can see from 60 feet, you have to be 20 feet. In Sandy's case, she sees better than what's considered perfect vision. She is 20/16.
Yeah, and they to do the first adjustment, they dilated her eyes. I mean, really dilated. She had double drops in there and all kinds of stuff. And then they have a procedure that they do where they put some other stuff in there, and then she goes into this machine, and it will adjust the I guess prescription in her lens.
To kind of review her vision, what a person who's considered to have perfect vision can see from 16 feet, she can back up and see that from 20 feet away.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how good her vision is. And I, the best vision I've ever heard of anybody having, and it's just quite frankly freakish, and one of those phenomenons is some people have been known to have 20/10. Now that is off the charts good. It's so good that it almost hurts their eyes. Things are so clear and crisp from such a distance. But good for her, and thank her again for me, and I've already thanked her. But when Brinton Vision came on, you know, sometimes I always like it when somebody who's not me tells people about, you know, Ballast Dental Care, Johnny Alonzo, Brinton Vision, whatever, because it's coming from somebody who's not getting paid. She's not getting paid. She didn't get free anything. She didn't get a discount. It doesn't work that way. When I do this, it doesn't work. I pay, we pay. But the fact that in your life, there are some things you can't put a price on.
And for what Dr. Jason Brinton did for me 6 years ago by replacing my lenses and the outcome I got, I would have paid. I don't mind telling people what it cost. It was 6 years ago. I had to make 4 round trips driving to Overland Park, Kansas and back when he was there. He's here now. And I paid $12,000 and they gave me 2 years no interest to pay it. So I made $500 payments for 2 years. I would have paid $50,000 and taken 5 years, 6 years, if knowing the results now that I got, it is beyond incredible. This guy is a master ophthalmologist.
I'm talking to other people in there because we had, they told us there were 4 other people that had the same procedure that Sandy had, and they were in for adjustments also. But anybody that's there for, I mean, they do LASIK, they do all sorts of things in there, but the staff is just, it's unbelievable. It's incredible.
And you can't, and no matter how you try, you cannot tell, I can't explain to people what happens the minute you walk through those glass doors. You'd swear you're in the wrong place because it doesn't have the feel of a doctor's office. But by design, they don't want it to, because most doctor's offices seem like doctor's offices. There's a sameness to them. There's the frosted glass, the reception area, and then sign this card and have a seat and we'll be right with blah, 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 all that stuff. And you're sitting there the whole time and you're nervous and you're anxious. Not at this place you're not, because from the minute you walk in, they're going to make sure you're not nervous or worried or anxious and you don't have any reason to be. And it starts with what they call the Brinton Vision Ocular Analysis. It's 90 minutes. And there's a reason it's 90 minutes, because no ophthalmologist can examine your eyes thoroughly in 15 minutes. They can't. It requires lots of testing. Again, no pain. And it's not just thorough and effective. It's flat out interesting and fascinating when you do it, when you're the one going through it, because you sit there thinking, wow, I've never looked into anything like this. I've never had a test like this. Of course you haven't. But once you do, and that 90 minutes is over, and you've spent your $120, which is maybe the best $120 you'll ever spend, you're going to know from somebody who I quite frankly would be stunned to find there's anybody better in the country or maybe the world. You're going to know from somebody at that level, once and for all, what you are and are not a candidate for. He does not do retinal work. If you have a detached retina, you don't go to Brinton Vision. You don't go there for retinal issues. You go there for corneal and lens surgeries, because in both those surgeries, with the cornea or the lens, a person's vision can be dramatically changed, and so can your life. I wish there'd be a way to get people to understand how very possible and probable it is that you may very well be able to get rid of those glasses or contacts. I know about, everybody knows about LASIK, and 1,000 people perform LASIK. And if you're a standard, qualified, eligible LASIK candidate, it's no big deal. They can do it. Those people can do it and do it fine. But if there's anything about your eyes that makes them an exception to the rule, an irregularity, a particular specific condition that causes other ophthalmologists to maybe have said, no, I'm sorry, can't help you, you're not a candidate for LASIK. Well, maybe you're not. But maybe you are a candidate for one of the 6 other vision correction procedures that he and his staff perform. I'm telling you, it's up to you, folks. You want to just keep in the summer, glasses sliding down your nose and fogging up in the winter when you go in a warm room. You want to keep putting up with that stuff? You outdoors people. I like to fish and I like to boat. Glasses were a tremendous pain for me when I flew in the cockpit. The most aggravating thing about it was having to have those glasses on, with the headset and the trying to look over the top of the glasses, look out the cockpit and look down at the charts, driving a car, all of it. It was irritating and aggravating. And if you are a candidate for one of the procedures that would mean you don't have to put up with that crap anymore. Why in the world would you not want to know that? It's Brenton Vision, and we'll keep you posted on Sandy. She is very close to the end.
I know.
And I don't want to make it sound like a big process, because it's not. It's a couple of visits and a fine-tuning, and then it's not a big deal.
Yeah, and then once she's finished and everything's locked in, we'll actually miss going there.
Well, that sounds ridiculous.
I know.
But I will tell you that, let's take Ballast Dental Care as an example, where I've gone for 46 and a half years. If somebody said you can't ever go there again, I'd be bummed out by that.
Yeah.
And I think that's true of Brenton Vision. I think that's a good way to put it. You may, if you're in the neighborhood, just want to stop in and say hello to those people. That's how much they very possibly can change your life. Vision is a big deal. It is one of the most important. I'd lose an arm or a leg any day before I would even begin to mess with taking chances with my vision. It's just not. The loss of sight, even one eye, and a lot of people get by. Sammy Davis Jr., Sandy Duncan, there have been Peter Falk, there have been famous people, not so famous people. I used to work for a guy in Belleville with a furniture store, Ralph Gaynor. He had vision only in one eye. He lost his vision as a Marine in the war, and he seemed to function fine, but even he would tell you, you lose your depth perception. You have no depth perception. You have no feel at all for how far the car in front of you is from you, or how close it is. You don't have that third dimension when you lose vision in one eye. Don't mess with it. Brenton Vision, Brinton, 314-375-2020. That's pretty easy to remember. 314, you got that locked in. That's the all-time, forever original St. Louis area code. 2020 is a no-brainer. All you need now is 375. 375-2020, Brenton Vision. They're on North New Ballast Road in Creve Coeur. Do yourself a favor. A favor is not a good word. Don't, let's put it this way, don't screw around with the health of your eyes and your vision. You can find out more at BrentonVision.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's go.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Sometimes one of the things I sneak in the movie theater is atomic fireballs. They're little jawbreakers. You can get them at Cracker Barrel in a mason jar. I order them online in individually wrapped fireballs. They're cinnamon, a little bit hot. And sometimes I sneak those into the movie theater. I mention it because I just ordered yesterday on Amazon another 3-pound bag of these things. I'm not condoning or recommending sneaking snacks into the theater. I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest. That's what we do. Dan Buff is in the room. I think you know what he does. He talks about TV shows and movies. And he's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the country for a lot of good reasons. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com is the place you go to find out more information about the preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. Would you please welcome Dan Buffa?
D-Buff! Hello. Good afternoon, everybody.
D-Buff, D-Buff, D-Buff. How you doing?
Buff D, I am good.
Now, I have a tendency to speak first because I usually have something good or bad to say about something on TV or the theaters. I don't watch what I would consider to be an excessive amount of television. I'm very selective. But when I do find something I like, I don't miss it. I binge watch, and I'm gonna tell you, and I'm sure you'll be familiar with this. A couple of people mentioned this to me. It's called The Outsider on HBO.
Yes.
Jason Bateman, you familiar with it?
Yes, I am.
Ben Mendelsohn, Jason Bateman. So last night, my wife and I watched 2 9/10 episodes. We bailed before the end of the third episode. First of all, this will explain a lot to a lot of people. It's based on a Stephen King novel. Okay, so it's a Stephen King thing. And by that, what I mean is he doesn't ever seem to know how to end something. He's kind of all over the place. this thing started off great. I thought, oh man, this is fantastic, because it stars, what was Mendelsohn's character? He played Danny. What was the series he was
Bloodline.
In? Okay, Bloodline. He was Danny, the brother in Bloodline. And Jason Bateman, I think most everybody knows, he's been in all kinds of things, and they're both really good in their roles. And without giving too much away, it's a tremendous concept. Here's the concept, basically. You got a guy who's the pillar of the community. He's a coach on the kids' little league teams. He's beloved in the community. He's a dad. Everybody loves him. All of a sudden, this guy is accused of a horrific, heinous crime of killing a young boy. And it rocks the community. This can't be true. This can't be true. It can't be him. We know him. We love him. This can't. And then, and the reason I'm not giving anything away is I saw Stephen King on a couple of the morning shows talking about this. They find out that all the DNA and fingerprints in the world are there to link him to the crime, yet they also have footage proving he wasn't even in town.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, I thought, okay, this is really interesting. Where is this going to go? But it lost me. It lost me and my wife before the end of the third episode. Have you seen it?
I have, and I really enjoyed the first 2 hours. I thought it was a good premise. It's kind of a misdirection. You know, they're wanting you to think that it's Bateman's character, but you're also thinking in the back of your mind that there's somebody, kind of a few things happening around town that just don't make it right. But, I mean, the second episode has a big shocker, and I loved it because I didn't see it coming. And I've started the third episode. I'm probably the opposite of you. I'm probably two, maybe one-tenth of the way into this series. But I like what's happening. I'm kind of a mixed guy on Stephen King. And when it comes to when they adapt his material for the screen, big or small. But I like especially the tempo and Bateman's direction and just the way it kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat. Now that they've got one thing out of the way, I'm kind of waiting to see what the other revelation is going to be. There's seven hours left.
I'm looking forward to another maybe week or so. How many episodes are there?
10. There'll be 10 episodes.
Holy cow. Well, if you say after 3 or 4 I need to go back, then I will. But otherwise, I'm done with it. So that's all. Anybody else here found anything recently, discovered anything that you watched that you want to share
There's a retelling of the old, Bram Stoker's Dracula that's on mm-hmm. Netflix right yeah. now. It's a three-episode series, and every episode is about an hour and a half. And I watched that last weekend, and I got to say, it was really, really good. They
Did you ever see, and it wasn't Bram Stoker, it was another guy who did Dracula. He never finished it because he sat around playing with himself. Dick Stroker. Dick Stroker.
Oh, come on.
Thank you.
The one I know most of is when Gary Oldman played
That's
Dracula.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
that one.
Dan just
flew right,
one with,
flew
Keanu
right past
Reeves.
That.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah,
well,
oh, no.
He's smart.
I got it. I just plowed right through that roadblock.
Yes, you did.
But yeah, I have watched an episode of this one. It's just more of a slow burn for me. I'm trying to take it slow. I'm only an episode through it. But it is. It's 3 episodes, what, hour and 10 minutes?
Yeah, and I think the last one is an hour and 10 minutes.
It's very different.
They're all longer than an hour, and they just kind of, they put a little twist on the old telling. It's still really
I won't watch anything Dracula, anything vampire, anything zombie. I don't like that crap.
That's a shame. It's really good.
No, I don't care anything about it because it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Guy sleeps all day and up at night and sucks
kills all
blood
night
and wears a cape. Who cares?
Did you like the movie The Lost Boys?
Ooh, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Young
I didn't
Kiefer.
See it.
Kiefer Sutherland playing.
Yeah,
Jason
young.
Patrick, I think, playing in it too. Corey Feldman, yeah.
No, I was confused those Coreys, too.
They're both in it. Yeah, you're right.
They're both in there.
Yeah.
It was a really good
movie. It was a good movie.
And it's a vampire-type movie. But
what was the movie
really,
where
really
the all the ships collided and they all crashed and sank because somebody in the middle of the night removed all the navigational aids? Lost Buoys.
My goodness.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Wow.
River
wow.
humor. Woo. River and ocean
river
humor.
River humor.
The look on
Thank
Tim's
you.
Face is classic.
I'm just trying to imagine how a ship got on a river.
Dan, plow right through this. Okay.
I said rivers and oceans.
I hesitated. I can't.
Lost buoys.
Ooh, it's pretty good. I also want to mention Aaron Hernandez special on Netflix is very good.
That. Oh, I heard it's great.
I'm two-thirds of the way through. And, you know, why wouldn't you think you know everything about the crime and the player? They unearthed some many different things about this guy. He was a premier athlete, tight end for the Patriots. He had the world, you know, right in front of him. He had a big contract, but the same year he got that contract, he committed a murder, and he's linked to a bunch of other murders. It's a bittersweet tale. You don't feel sorry for the guy because, yeah, he died when he was 27, hanging himself.
He went to prison, right?
He hung himself in prison. But
by the way, when you go to prison, you don't want to go in being known as the tight end.
No. No, you don't.
You just don't.
I've always thought that was an interesting title.
Yeah.
Me too.
Hey, he played tight end. Yeah, no, he'll keep playing that position.
When he went to prison, he changed to wide receiver.
Oh. Yeah. Especially over time.
I would imagine over time you do go from tight end to wide receiver.
Perhaps that's why he wanted the quick way out. He didn't want to from a tight end to a wide receiver in a month.
Wow. I've heard it's good.
It's three episodes, again, kind of like the Dracula series. They don't really drag it out. But it just goes from his early childhood up until he was in high school, and he played for Tim Tebow down there and for the Gators, and he was with kind of a later draft slot in the NFL where he fell into the Patriots kind of took a chance on him because this guy had bad news written all over his name from the moment he was in high school.
All right, help us out here, those of us who know the name. But where did he take the wrong turn? He's an NFL player. He's a big deal. And then what happened?
It's when his dad passed away. That's what the documentary wants to make you think. He was very close to his dad. His dad was in surgery to work on a hernia, and he passed away in this routine surgery. And that is when, according to everybody that knew him, his friends, his family, that is when, you know, a guy who maybe wanted to be a little bit of a thug turned into a real thug/football player. That's when they say the turn happened.
So what's the first thing he did that got him in trouble?
When he was playing for the Gators down in Florida, he was linked. He got into a bar fight, but because you're playing for a big team like the Florida Gators, that's swept underneath the rug. He got into a couple more things, but I want to say in 2012 is when he was linked to the murder of his longtime best friend. This is what sent him to prison for life. This guy was his friend growing up. He was a football player, and in a non-crime part of Connecticut, a very low-crime part, they found his friend dead. And this is the part about Hernandez that's just so stupid. It was a rental car. He left gun casings in the rental car. And then when he comes into his...
Shell casings.
And when he came into his house after doing it, his own footage on his security camera has him holding a gun as he's trying to hide it. Moments. So basically he's like...
Hey, can I share some criminal advice with people?
I think he wanted to be caught.
This isn't just advice to anybody who's thinking about murdering somebody. Use a revolver. Okay, here's a revolver.
Oh, there you go.
A semi-automatic pistol spits out shell casings. A revolver doesn't. They stay in the cylinder. That's it. Just my killer tip for the day.
Yeah. I mean, right. He did everything you should not do if you are a killer. And I think the overwhelming theme of the documentary is that he just thought he was above it all. He thought he gotten away with a few things. And, hey, I'm a big-time football player who just, again, he
was untouchable.
Yeah, he committed.
Why did he kill the guy?
You know, that is kind of the documentary kind of goes over some things that have to do with bisexuality with Aaron Hernandez. Maybe there was something there. I haven't gotten through the third episode. Well,
maybe the guy was going to out him or something.
Well, that was the whole theory, was that Hernandez.
Hey, look who's here, Tim Woodburn.
Hello, Tim.
Hernandez and Odin Lloyd was the guy's name. They were involved in marijuana distribution, and they had a tiff over who owed who some money, and apparently Odin Lloyd had allegedly had some evidence saying that Aaron Hernandez was bisexual.
Oh.
and was threatening to release that, and Hernandez offed him.
I guess I get to that in the third episode, because in the first two They're backtracking his way all the way. I mean, the guy signed a big deal with the Patriots.
The Patriots.
The Patriots.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Dan hates the Patriots.
Bill of Cheat.
Good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, he signed Bill a big deal, and somebody in the doc is like, this guy had just murdered somebody, and he just did a whole season of football. He played all 16 games, cold-blooded.
And the thing is, after he shot Odin Lloyd, he just left him right out in the middle of the wide open.
Yes, throw it out.
You know, watch Ray Donovan. They bury people in the woods, right, where nobody.
And Ray actually digs the graves himself. Yeah, he does. You got to hand it to Ray. He one shovel and one guy digging the grave.
And Ray Donovan doesn't wear in a suit coat, I might add.
Ray Donovan wears nice gloves when you're. Listening close, disposing of a body, put gloves on. Okay, so any future...
And Tim, have you ever noticed Ray's suits are never really that dirty or messed up? Even after all the crap he goes through, he still looks pretty decent.
No, the worst thing is his cars are super clean. He gets
never dirty.
Doing all kinds.
Never a dirty
trunk
car.
Trunk is spotless. He must hit the vacuum off camera. But yes, any athletes in the future, the first thing is you shouldn't do this, but if you are going to do some malicious, life-taking things. Watch Ray Donovan.
Use a revolver.
Watch Ray Donovan, watch Dexter, and use a revolver. There you go.
Watch Dexter.
That's your three steps.
Now, let me make sure the audience understands that at any point here, if somebody wants to call in with a suggestion, something you found on whatever, HBO, Netflix, Amazon, ABC.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Movie theater, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. What else do you have for us?
I had a John Wick marathon over the weekend.
Oh, I'm jealous.
And I got to say, the first one, incredible. The second one, incredible. The third one.
You weren't as high on the third one?
The third one, they kind of took it a little bit too far. Like, the first half of the movie, you get it. The second half of the movie was just, you're pushing it a bit much.
I can't believe I can even say this, but I've seen all three. And I don't even believe I've seen them, because it's not something normally I would watch, but... I watch him because my wife likes Keanu Reeves.
Hey, AMC's going to be doing a whole thing about what's the Ray Donovan series?
It's
a tough one, Dan. It's called Ray Donovan.
Oh wait, what was the first one that you guys would talk about all the time? The guy that was the meth.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is supposed to be on AMC from season one all the way through, I think.
Oh, wow.
They're doing a marathon.
I could watch it again.
And then they're going to have Better Call Saul also on there, too.
Yeah, the new season is coming out.
It's interesting. I got rid of Better Call. I stopped because just didn't do it for me.
It gets really good in the last couple seasons. It takes a little while. It's got a lot of time where nothing's really happening. It kind of fizzles a little bit, but the last two seasons are really good. And now he's kind of transformed from being the good lawyer into being the bad lawyer. So I'm kind of looking forward to this next season. They've also set a cap on it. There's two seasons left, the one this year and the one next year, and that's going to be it.
I think sometimes they do a spinoff and it burns out and fizzles out, and you can tell they just kind of lost their way and ran out of ideas. Where Breaking Bad, that never happened to the end. And it's all, I like the guy, like Bob Odenkirk is a brilliant writer and actor, but it's like they're out of ideas. Well, it's over.
Having said that, both Breaking Bad and Entourage, two of my favorite series ever, both of them came out with two-hour-long Hollywood-style movies after the series was completely over, and I thought both of them were outstanding.
I did not like Entourage, but it did grow me a little bit every time I watched it. But El Camino was great. I mean, to give who's the guy? Aaron Paul that kind of a spotlight, and just the way they made it was like a two-hour Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. The way that Vince Gilligan filmed it was great. I mean, I actually watched it again, Tim. 2 weeks ago was when the year ends. I go back and watch all the stuff. I watched the Deadwood movie again, which I loved. So yes,
I'm getting back into that TV series Deadwood. I got about 3.5 seasons in, and I got a little bit burnt out.
It is
with what
because
was going on.
It's a very talky Western.
Yes,
because Ian McShane's character just goes on these long, poetic, you know, profanity-fueled rants, and you're like, okay, I'm worn out. Give us some gunplay.
Right.
But Timothy Oliphant is so good in it. And the movie, the way they wrapped it up, they came back 13 years later and wrapped up the story. It's very well
done. He was best, the very best, in when he played that role where he couldn't even speak because he was so deformed. Oh, the Oliphant man.
I knew that was coming.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, Dan, you're mad because I beat you too.
I know.
The second he said it, I was like, here we go.
I will say Limey was going to the controls when you broke into that first part of that line.
I was going to hit him with here it comes.
Here
I was like,
it
nah.
We'll wait. We do have a couple of calls.
Well, let's take them. Who's first, Limey? Mike or Richard? Let's go to Mike. Mike, welcome to the greatest radio show in the United States of America. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm great. Yes, it is the greatest radio station in the world and greatest show in AM and the PM.
Thank you, Mike. What do you have?
Hey, you were talking about if you were going to commit a crime, use a revolver. Well, I just finished The Sopranos. And I was just curious, you know, when Tony or one of the gangsters commits a murder, they shoot a guy, and then they drop the gun and run away. Why is that? Wouldn't you want to hide the weapon?
Yeah, you would, and unless you're wearing gloves, you've also dropped a gun with prints on it. Now, let's just assume, for whatever reason, there were no prints, and they Vaseline'd it up or whatever. The only other reason you could do that and get away with it is if the gun, there's no record of the gun and the numbers are filed off. But otherwise, yeah, that's not a good idea.
Wait, if you put the gun Vaseline on the handle of a gun, it won't pick up your fingerprints?
No. I just made that up. I don't know.
I was about to say, because your fingerprints would be in the Vaseline, wouldn't they?
I don't know. I just made that up. But he's right, because when I saw the spread, they weren't wearing gloves. They did it, and they dropped the gun and ran. He's right. It's a stupid, they're not thinking. Prince. They're going to be on the gun. No, he's right.
Purple rain.
I was going to do that.
I knew you'd do that. I knew you'd do that. So easy and obvious. I knew you'd do that. But you're right, Mike. You're right.
Damn you.
Somebody tell Dan. That's not very funny.
Mike, I think you should tell him. You're a listener. Go ahead. Dan, it's for you. Mike, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you doing?
You know, we're trying to have a segment here, and that's not very funny.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you, Mike. Thank you,
sorry,
so
Mike.
I think you speak for for so many. No, Mike, thank you.
It was actually very funny. It was just the worst Prince imitation in the history of Prince imitations.
Were you talking to me or Dan Buffa?
Talking to you.
Is Mike still Mike?
I didn't do a Prince impersonation.
No, Mike's still with us. Hey, okay. Mike. Let me share one other thing with you that drives me nuts when I watch any of these shooting things. Let's say there's a shootout in the parking garage or inside a building. They never seem to address the fact that after the shooting, they wouldn't be able to hear anything. Because if you've ever shot a gun without ear protection in an enclosed area, your ears ring for 2 weeks. You can't hear squat. And if it were realistic, the guy would go, well, do you think you got him? Do you think you shot him? And the other guy would go, what?
What did you say?
What? Yeah, it can't hear anything. So that always bugs me, too. It's very loud, and it'll blow your drums out. So, Mike, was there anything else?
Perfect aim with a handgun.
Oh, yeah, they just raise up, don't even take 2 seconds, and drop the guy. That's not easily done either. So, anything else?
That's all I got. Have a great show.
Well, thank you, Mike. We'll try. We can still pull it off. We still have over an hour to have a great show. Let's go to Richard. Richard, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm great, guys. And yourself?
Terrific. Are we terrific?
Right. Yeah. Doing all right.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, we're doing fine.
Great. Well, you got to be nice today. It's my birthday, so I figured I'd jump in and call at AM and the PM.
Well, happy birthday.
Thanks. Hey, a couple of things. Aaron Hernandez series is great. He actually killed two other individuals, which we'll get into in the second part, I think. He killed two other gentlemen that they were attempting to try him in a nightclub in Boston, outside of a nightclub in Boston, that apparently dissed him. He was sick from the get-go, but it was after his father died. But anyway, a couple of other really good series. The Outsider, I don't know if any of you have seen the first couple of episodes of that.
Mike, it's the first, Richard, it's the first thing I mentioned when we started this segment today. My wife and I watched 2 9/10 episodes last night. We bailed before the end of the third episode.
Yeah, it's a little out there, but Stephen King, what do you do? But it's good. The other one just finished watching was Good Omens.
Did you finish The Outsider? Did you finish it?
The first three, I think, is out.
Yep. Right now. Yes, three episodes are out.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I have seen all three of those. Yeah. And I don't know what in the world's going on.
And that's why we quit, because we just couldn't figure out what the heck. I mean, minute it's one storyline.
Yeah, you usually got to get at least five or six episodes in to figure out exactly what's going on. And this one, it might be even the first full season.
Yeah, I don't think I'm smart enough to follow it. I just don't. But I tried. I gave it a shot. Anything else, Richard?
No, have you seen Good Omen?
I have not. Buffa, have you seen it?
Yes, absolutely hilarious.
I have watched the first two episodes.
Of course, you'd love it, Limey.
Oh, man.
With the British devil.
All right, so, Frank, I'm going to give you a quick rundown, all right? Basically, the Antichrist has come to Earth, has been born, and has been put in the care of a regular mortal family. So heaven sends down an angel. Yeah, by mistake. So heaven sends down an angel to kind of keep an eye on the kid, and hell sends up a demon to try and coerce the kid into being evil. And it is absolutely hilarious, because the angel and the demon end up becoming friends. And the whole series is hilarious. There's nobody says my lord, my lady throughout the entire series.
No, it's my lord, your grace.
Oh, sorry, yeah, my lord, your grace. Nobody says that throughout the movie, and it is absolutely hilarious.
And it's got John Hamm.
What's really good about it is that the angel and the demon have known each other for thousands of years, and they go through all these periods of time where they're. And they kind of just hang out together because they don't want to do any work, and so neither the heaven or hell checks on them too much. So they just kind of, roll with the punches. And the guy that plays the demon is just fantastic.
So they're not in costume; they just appear as like regular people.
Yeah, right? yeah. The demon has got red hair, and that's about it. And the angel has got white hair.
Great music too.
Yes. I would give this a try. I'd give this a watch.
It's
where is it?
I highly recommend it.
Where do you watch
Amazon Prime?
Yeah, Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
it's on there.
Amazon Prime.
And it's called The Good Omen.
Yeah, The Good Omens. Yeah, it's absolutely hilarious.
It's six episodes too. It's not too long.
I read where they're trying to get them to do another season, but the guy who wrote it is involved in writing a novel and things. But he says if he does another season, he's going to have to do two more seasons, so it may be a couple of years before.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be great.
Just don't do what James Cameron did and make 19 more Avatar movies. Just make one at a time and let them come out.
All right, Richard.
All right, guys. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday again.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Richard's birthday.
Happy birthday, Richard.
And now it's Rick's turn. Rick, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Good, Frank. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
So I'm probably late to this party, but I just discovered Schitt's Creek in the last week or
so.
By the way, for anybody who's not familiar, he can't actually say that and get away with it because that is the name of the series, and I've never watched one minute
of it.
So I'm anxious to hear about this.
I've heard it. I was looking forward to saying that name on this. It's so good.
Schitt's Creek. Rick, is it any good? From the sound of your voice, I get the impression it's good.
Eugene Levy, so right, comedy. Yeah, it's a comedy, totally.
I love him. I like anything he does.
There's like five or six seasons, Dan, you may correct me if I'm wrong. There's like there's like 24-minute episodes, so you can crank through them pretty quick. And every episode I've watched, and I'm on like the beginning of season three, I've laughed out loud more than the last week and a half watching this thing, and I have in probably 6 months.
So in 30 seconds or so, what's it about?
So Eugene Levy and his family are swindled out of, $500 million, right, by their business partner. And so they're forced to leave their mansion in Beverly Hills kind of thing. Well, unbeknownst to the family, they bought the town of Schitt's Creek back in, like, the early 90s. So that's the last the last thing the government lets them keep is this town. So they go to the town, and they stay in a hotel at the town that's a flea bag, dirt bag motel, and it just all unfolds from there. And it's just high society meets Podunk USA.
I already like it. I already like it. Just from that description, I like it.
And Chris Elliott, I don't know if you remember him from the David Letterman days, Chris Elliott. He's
the
mayor of the town, and he is absolutely funnier than anything that I've seen in the last five, six months.
I always thought Chris Elliott was funny, just because he's so bizarre.
They were talking about this on the Today Show or something the other day, and they're all saying it and saying the name, and it was just so funny to me that they were saying the name of the show.
I love it when somebody's clever enough to come up with a way to allow you to say something you're not otherwise supposed to say.
Yes.
It's S-C-H-I-T-T, right? I-T-T-S, yeah.
I think so. You know what, Rick? I'll give it a shot. I've seen it. I know it's out there. I just never bothered. Now I'm interested.
It'll hook you the first two episodes easily.
That's what I like. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks. Have a good day.
All right, now, Buffa, you want to take one more here? One more, or you want to let you just wrap it up if you got more that you wanted to get in here?
No, I have a couple quick things. Well, we can take one more if you want. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's get Mark in here. Mark, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
First off, I'm AM and the PM.
That's good to hear.
Always have been. So very
appreciate
long
it.
Time.
Appreciate
but
it.
Real fast, you were talking about guns and movies and shows and things like that and the crazy things they do with them. And, yeah, thank you for bringing up the air protection, because I've always wondered that myself. But the one that gets me is some of the old shows, especially the old Superman show, where they used to shoot him with the gun, bullets bounce off, he'd stand there, but he would duck when they threw the gun at him.
The bullet won't hurt him, but that's don't hit me in the head with that gun.
He always ducked out of the way of the gun when they threw the gun, but he'd just stand there like he was everything. Go ahead, shoot me the bullet. I don't care.
He's not immune to concussions, I guess.
I wish I could remember, Mark, I wish I could remember the movie that I saw. It was only a couple of years ago. And when I saw it, I thought, how could you have missed this? And you editors, you producers, you continuity people. And the guy had committed a murder, and they showed the police collecting the shell casings. And then they get a shot of the gun in the evidence room. And it's a .357 Magnum revolver. And I just thought, there have got to be thousands of people who see this and go, well, this doesn't make any sense. There's no shell casings when you use a revolver. I'll never forget. I wish I... Oh, my goodness. That was such a glaring...
Shortcuts by the movie.
It was, but I actually saw one that... They showed the shell casings, or they showed the gun. It was a .357.
Right.
But when they were doing the ballistics and everything, it was a 9mm.
Now, that's another huge glaring error. You don't see any 9mm revolvers. You don't.
There's also one other movie I saw. It was a B movie, had sharks and that in it. And this guy comes up and he's shooting at the shark with his gun. And it's one of the.
Are you talking about Sharknado?
No,
the Meg.
NATO.
No, the Meg.
No, it was a low budget movie.
Okay,
but the gun he was shooting at the shark with, and actually hit the tank on there that the shark had in his mouth and blew it up, was a one cock pellet gun.
Oh, you talking about Jaws?
No, not Jaws.
Because he's got a tank in his mouth that blows up the shark.
You're right.
But you see him and he's shooting, and you see the flame coming out of the end of the barrel, and he's got this, like he's jumping back, like it's got a huge recoil. But you can clearly see that the flame coming out is fake, and the gun is a pump-up air rifle.
Yeah, but Mark, you know how few people realize that? Very few.
Yeah.
Very few people would have spotted that. Because if it's got a scope and it looks like a rifle, to most people it's a rifle.
Exactly. That's
all right. Hey, man, I appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Have a good night.
You too. Well, we're out of time. And thank you for letting those people call. And
no
whatever
problem
else you had, save it for next week. What a quick hour. Wow. See, that's when you know you've done a good job. And you have. So you know how to wrap this up.
I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
All right. There he goes, everybody. Till next week. Next week, same time, same station, as they say. Dan Buffa, brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the country. And I can't even imagine anybody out there, when it's time for replacement windows, who wouldn't include Window World in your shopping. Maybe don't even bother with the rest of them because you're going to end up going with Window World anyway, as most people do. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com, of course, the preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. You know what's next. I think you do anyway. The news in the Playhouse, because it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Senate Republicans are preventing Democrats from introducing certain witnesses and documents in the impeachment trial of President Trump. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell called it premature and successfully moved to